This is just what I'm working on today. But I'll just show you some updated stuff. So for the show, I showed you the black and white ones last mm-hmm. week. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to print about 10 black and white ones, mm-hmm. and probably about 10 color ones. And it's going to be on slide film, and it's going to be like projected onto this wall, mm-hmm. just to give you an idea.
Okay. And it'll be on a continuous loop.
Well, it's because it's a slide. I think I have to let the viewer control. I don't think you can set that. Can you?
Is it an actual slide?
35mm slide.
Yeah. Slide project.
Yeah.
You could set it up. Yeah, I mean, there are some automatic.
Oh, did we have that?
No.
I could do that. I'm not really opposed to that. It might be easier so people could walk in and just let it go. Or I could have the controller. But if I did automatic, I don't have enough slides to fill a roll, so I think it would create space.
So let's imagine, okay, but because all of this bears down on meaning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you have, for instance, here's a thought, that if you have, everything counts for everything, not only in terms of what you choose to show, of course, how you show it, and that means technology as well. If you're using a carousel rather than a non-carousel, that has meaning, right? Mm-hmm. Because slide projectors are not only carousel form. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean about here, but you could probably find easily enough when there's nobody else using them, right? Which is why I do this.
I don't even know about slide projectors, so.
Well, you can find out pretty easily.
Yeah, I have one in my my apartment, but it's a carousel.
Right.
The ones I've seen here are carousel.
Right. But just to let you know that it might be great. It would be perfectly fine to use a carousel, whether it's orchestrated in an automatic thing, or maybe, as you say, maybe it's just as well for people to have fun with it themselves. Mm-hmm. But as you see, you're the one who directs meaning in every which way, even out of default, whether you say, there's no, do whatever you want, that is a way of assigning. Directing the traffic, so to speak, right? So whatever it is that you choose to do, of course, is your right, your business, and it will inform the work, impact the work, and inform the work, right? So to bear down on it, so that whatever decision you make isn't arbitrary.
Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I chose to do the slides originally.
So why, let's imagine you want to use a carousel. There are 60 possible slots. You have 15. How many?
Probably about 20 images.
Okay, 20. So let's imagine 20 images, and you're like, I'm going to put it on automatic because I don't want the individual to assume control. Anybody to walk in and just enjoy this without having to fiddle with controls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make three sets of 20s, 20, 20, 20, just. Have all the slots filled, mm-hmm. put it in an automatic, and it's
circus carousel.
Circus carousel. It just keeps problem solved, right?
Yeah. But
perhaps.
Yeah. No, that'd be great. And I don't. I also wouldn't mind just like having the row of 10, so people could go backward and forward, because then it would be nice, because they would be like, oh, look at this, and then the next one, like, they're like, oh, they're in control, kind of.
Absolutely.
And I think that would be great if they were in control.
So. Exactly right. I mean, everything could be obviously everything has possibility and meaning.
Thinking about the best way to view things like this, like the digital images in the physical world.
Because this is actually a thing that you have. And I know that you're experiencing it's actually very dynamic. This notion of this interface, deconditioned, if you want, through the digital, right? And then it's air, it's light and air.
Yeah.
It's something you wanted to really get involved in, right?
But really, just, like, this is light and air, too, so really just, like, focusing only on this. Yeah. Even if I used a digital projector, it actually wouldn't really look very similar, because digital projectors have, like, a grid, I think we talked about.
And this is something you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, and the slide film is actually the best technology to represent, like, the solid image. without any lines or artifacts in between the pixels.
They have. Is this a little devil's advocate? Is this like a little devil's advocate? Do you mean to say that there's a snob factor involved here? Do you want the crispest type of image?
Oh yeah, it's really a technical thing.
So let me challenge you and say, well, is that really true? I mean, one could perhaps argue that, you know what, on a certain level it's true, but on a certain level it's not true. It's not actually more.
Well, I just think it'll look like the best, you know? It'll look how I want it to look once it's on the slide film. But also, I'm not really sure because I've never seen it on the slide film. So I'm just doing it. I'm doing it in good faith, you know? I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure it'll look nice, you know, how it looks. And I think it would also give it like a nice natural quality.
I wish there were a little more rigor here. the technology means that there's a, and we talked a little bit about this, that it's a theater. It's sort of a, what's his name? Where's the text by you're going nuts when you read this, if you haven't already, the text by, Camera Lucida. Where's the Barth's text? He actually talks about this.
It's in my notebook.
You know, bring that out, because Barth talks about what I'm about to refer to. These are the extras, but hang on a bit. Let me see if I can go practically through it, right? Here it is. Talks about painting, the relationship with photography, and he says that, you know, that photography is, touches art, not through painting, but through theater. And he talks about the early forms of photography. He talks about panorama theater, animated by light shows, you know, projections, early projections. You talked about the carousel, but that's...
Things like Nickelodeon.
Right. And he's exactly right. And he goes into the whole notion of relations that we have through time and space, through projections.
Yeah, that's very important.
We turn the lights down, and then all of a sudden we're involved in our own private scene, like being in the movie theater.
It's really important with this type of work, especially because it's almost like it basically is. It's treated now as photography, you know.
Right.
Like, and these images are saved as like a photographic image would be saved.
Right, and you. Now I want to do what? To raise the question about this. Clearly through using this other technology. I mean, I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you're trying to raise a question somehow, right? Mm-hmm. About presuppositions, that this is where, you know, it starts here and it ends here. It's only appreciated in this format, supposedly. And you say, no, if it's translated into this other format, something happens. A, the quality gets better. Let's assume that you can quantify that claim. Quality gets better because these are great images, and I want it to be as sharp as it possibly can. It simply doesn't work on this. So it's sharp as can be.
You see, it does work on this.
Right, but not in the way that it could if it were not otherwise. You know, if you're not using.
But not. I just think not for an exhibition.
Well, why not?
Well, because the keyboard and everything. You know, I need a frame.
Yeah. So it's fine. I mean, they're flat screens. There are tons of things you can get. Let's imagine.
Well, cheapest slide projection, actually.
Okay, but that's a different issue.
Yeah.
I don't want to, because of course we're all constrained by, by materials. But again, I'm trying to focus on in terms of ideology. Mm-hmm. Because
I'm not, to be honest, I'm not really too invested in the ideology behind using the slides. Okay. Aside from
I'm a little disappointed.
I like the colors.
I'm a little disappointed with that. Because I think it's a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's a missed opportunity.
But it's really just not...
Because nothing is just. Listen to your language.
Yeah, you're right.
It's nothing. Art is not just about just. It's not. It's about taking into account...
Everything.
everything, including including the distance between things, the instrumentation, the decision not to use the instrument. All of this becomes part of the object. If you can come up with nothing, there's nothing there.
I guess what I should say is my original intention.
Pushing you.
My original intention was to really just think, like, how could I best represent this, like, on a big wall, you know, like, for a show. The idea was, like, how could I make this, like, for a show, you know, like a show, like a theater show,
okay,
or for an art show.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, the projector will definitely be, the slide projector will be the cheapest and easiest. Also,
okay,
immediately after, I thought, oh, well, if they were slides, they'd be real, then I could, you know, if I wanted a career doing these, then I could sell these, because it's a real object. Not only that, I could decorate the projector. Not only that, I could have 60 paintings, like a couple of years' work under my arm, and carry them to like a collector's house or like someone's house, you know, in the same way that like Calder did his circus. You know what I'm talking about? The Calder circus?
Yeah, of course.
So in a sense, it's like my own like repertoire I could put music in. So I'm thinking about all those things. But originally, it was really just like a basic, like, I need it to look good thing.
Very good. I hear you. I appreciate you. But follow my observation about this that it's almost like you're saying, you know, I have this dream about the art being able to be this, but then I woke up and said, you know, that's just a dream. I can't make the art this way. It's just like a dream.
Well, I'm not saying I'm going to make it that way. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Instead of projecting about how it could be,
no,
make it so.
Originally I was thinking, you know, all I really want is this, but now, like for the show, you know, I'll have the projector, I'll make it look nice. I already have appointments planned where I'm going to bring it to people's houses to do a show.
Okay.
The only thing I'm really thinking about is, like, maybe now I want to include photography in the slides, or maybe now I want to blend photography with an image, or maybe now I want it to be a whole story. But originally I just wanted to show like separate images.
Right.
So now I'm kind of like, well, it can't really be a story. Maybe I'll have to just do it like a slide, like call it a slideshow or something. For
that's
this, at least.
That's
yeah.
Right. So I see what you're saying. So you bore down on through necessity, the cheapest thing available that really satisfied all, and that led to the next development.
Yeah.
It just so happens that everything opens up after that.
But then once that development happens, I'm like, well, now the work's done. To that point, you know, like if I really wanted to make the story happen, you know, and then this, I think, eventually.
Yeah. Which story?
Well, any story that I was gonna.
Because there are lots of stories here.
Yeah.
I don't mean, you know, the 12 that you choose are 12 stories. I mean, there's a big story, not only about this, about each of these stories, but the stories about why one story follows another, the story about the projection through the, right?
The story of me going there and showing it.
Yeah, there's lots of narratives here. Which narrative, again, very
narrative. Narrative should I bear down on?
Through default, you have to bear down on all of them, because that's what the artwork is. But which one, can you make distinctions about which one, perhaps is deserving of more, either more development or later development or something, as part of an artistic vision, which raises the questions that you want to raise, as well as the other questions that are not as fruitful or as invigorating.
This is really all leading me to start doing animation as well, because I can easily animate these images, and now that I'm doing the projection, you know, I don't have time, or even like, I'm still working on these very complex images that are so simple images, where if I were to animate this, it would take forever, you know, at this point.
Right.
But,
right.
Because they're the same basically as a painting. So for this, my plan is, you know, to do like the slideshow, make some appointments after the show, and like go to some people's houses, some people's places. Maybe I'll add some kind of like audio track of my own, you know, to each image, or to like a thing that will, so I'll perform a slideshow at people's houses, and then after that, I'm thinking like, now what's the next project, and I'm already interested, like, I'm already beyond this, like, thinking about animation, wanting to create a whole story, like, writing the film that I'm writing, and so all this is sort of leading me to like, this is kind of like my little play, like, I'm gonna put on a little play, and then like, after that, I'll probably work on something bigger, which is like the animation of the film.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. So by the time the show comes around, you will have made your choices. You will have made your decisions about which choices.
Yeah, so for this.
For this, right? In terms of which image, in what sequence, mm-hmm. you know, and presenting, I suppose, the...
Yeah, my main goal for the show is just to have, like, the... Like, to finish the projector, like, that prop. Yeah. Like, to build the prop, you know.
Fantastic.
And then I'll have some little drawings around the area.
Oh, you will?
Yeah, so, I'll show some little drawings, of course, some little things.
I love the way you say, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not that it would be a good idea, but why of course?
Well, because it's better to put them up if I like them, you know, than to leave them in the box.
Why?
Well, because I want people to see them.
But for instance, it leads us to the question of, well, why do this? You know, why have this interface if you could actually have the drawings themselves for us?
Wait, what?
I mean, you know, I ask you, well, why of course? And you say, well, because I like those drawings. I want people to look at the drawings, as this is a drawing. Yeah. And I say, well, if you have both, you know, forms of image making, right? The slide and real life drawings, you're raising different questions.
Yeah.
Than you were to if you were to give us an exclusive through exclusivity, you were
yes.
to show us only this, again with the understanding that we know that you're a consummate paper maker. In other words, you use paper mm-hmm. as your thing 24/7. And for this experience, you've decided, no, I do not do what I've always done before. I now take a different tangent. And I actually only present the thing in its illusion through the slide thing. That's to me, it's a much more dramatic, you know, dynamic,
yes.
rhetorical position to take, and much more fun. Because you're saying, well, fuck you. You know, I don't want to do this again, because this is the new challenge for me mm-hmm. and for you. So,
of course. This semester has kind of been the story of me going from that.
Yeah.
Like to this, you know. So I'm gonna present sort of like some of that, the end of that, and the beginning of this, I guess. Yeah.
Everything will depend, I suppose, on how what the whole thing looks like.
We
can only do so much projecting, ideation projecting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before and the thing itself is going to count. In other words, how you know, you only know until you actually are in the space and see how the whole thing works.
Yeah.
But
starting today, I was even thinking about like, what if I printed these too? Because after the,
right.
after the show yesterday, uh-huh. With the new museum, there's so much video and so much photography. There may be only 10 paintings in the whole show.
Okay.
And I'm thinking like, maybe like a light box or something in the future if I was to do a large like digital piece. But I kind of like the projection. To me, like. It might depend piece by piece, but really, like, its original form is always going to be, like, seen on the computer screen. Or seen, like, you know. But it's really not like a...
Is that so? You're the one who determines the, mm-hmm. you know, again, you're the one who determines what the real is.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, I find it fascinating, you know, because you have a response to what you saw at the new museum, just as someone else might have had a very different response of the same age. You know, I'm not saying that you're right or wrong. For instance, someone else might say, you know, 10% of the works are on paintings. Goddamn it, that means for sure I'm going to be doing paintings. I'm not going to be doing what everybody else is doing. No way. I'm going to be doing paintings.
The thing is about the show, I mean, I didn't like it almost any of the work. However, I thought, like, wow, you know, these people are using great videos. Really uncreative stuff. All the work seemed to be like about.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like the goal of all the artists were to make work of their time and not necessarily like, to make work in their time.
So let's talk about the work of their time, not in their time.
They wanted the work to be of their time, you know, like, to be about the generation, about
of their time. while doing that, it avoided, it eliminated work. In doing that,
it eliminated like, making creative work that happens to be in their time. You know, like interesting creative artwork. It seemed that there was, most of the work had sort of like an art historical intention.
You mean the word seemed, the word is overdetermined. You think the word was ideationally overdetermined by the need to make sure that everybody realized it was supposed to be an up to date, timely thing?
Yeah, kind of. The goal was maybe to be relevant in a way, in an art historical way. Many of the artists.
Okay. Bearing down on that rather than bearing down on just doing what we wanted to do without feeling, you know, the breath of judgment, I don't quite know.
Well, it seemed like, I think pretty much. It seemed like they weren't acting naturally. They were acting with the art world, like, you know, like grabbing onto their coat. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I haven't seen the show. I'm really fascinated to see, you know, your assessment of it. And so would that be
it's kind of like say an artist wanted to draw like say someone around my age, they're all under 33, say someone who's 25 wants to make a painting of or a drawing or something on the computer of like a puppy dog, for example. And then like there's kind of like, it seems like what happens is like the art school or whoever it is, the art establishment, the art world, maybe the museum curator, they're kind of at their coat, like reference this when you make the puppy dog, you know? Like, why don't you, like, you know, add this onto your, like, the repertoire, the list of, like, what the puppy dog is supposed to mean.
Because I've never been bearing down puppy dogs, right.
Mm-hmm. But anything really, you know, flowers is a perfect example. Yeah.
So in other words, you feel that they're overly historicizing themselves?
Yeah.
That may be so. I've got to see the show.
In a way, it's like the way they're working. Mm-hmm. It's like this art is better than all the art before it because it references all the art before it. Mm-hmm. It contains all that before it.
Well, that's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what art is, right?
Mm-hmm. It's incremental. They're doing it, but it doesn't. It does that on its own. You know.
No, it doesn't do it on its own.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it looks.
And in fact, if it looks to you as if it's doing it on its own, that's a calculated effect. That's what the artist needs. Get that.
But it looks fake.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about the situation. Okay, but it looks fake. Meaning that now we have to sort of discuss this because it's everything is about it. We have to actually bear down on specific examples because otherwise it's about everything. But it sounds fake, meaning
it's not true to what the artist wanted. There seems to be too many outside influences in the realm or in the theme of art history or other art. It seems to be large.
And so the work lacks freshness or spontaneity?
Creativity or like imagination. In a sense, it's too fresh because of, it's too fresh.
Because, you know, if it, whatever the it is, if it alludes to predecessors, takes into account predecessors, and brings into play the contemporaneous spirit that it's bearing down on the past, then it is what art is supposed to be, as the timely and the timeless. You're saying, but it's the wrong mix somehow. It's got time in it. It's the wrong mix. I guess that's what you're saying. Some of
it. Seems like
how many artists?
Like, I think almost 40 or 50.
And there was no one that drew your attention?
Oh yeah, there were some really good ones.
So I don't know, you jotted their names?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the names.
And so those pass muster, according to you?
Yeah.
You know, I hear you. I'm glad to see.
And there are also key ones that I'm critical of, too, on both ends. So.
And what?
There are key ones that that I like that I'd like to talk about, and other ones that I don't like that I'd like to talk about.
That's great. I mean, in all group shows, whether it's at the whatever museum, whether it's at Pompidou, inevitably there are going to be some people who are better than others.
Yeah,
and that's going to be true. And there's going to be consensus, whether it's you and your friends or your peers, or it's me with my peers, or both of us together. Inevitably, there'll be consensus.
And the whole show, man, like younger than Jesus. In a sense, it's like what I'm talking about. I think. Well, because it's like. They're like, there's certain, you know, like that references,
okay.
Of course.
The Beatles and whoever said it right mm-hmm. in the 60s. So we're back in, there's a Beatlemania right now.
Yeah.
Because they're both going to die very soon. Mm-hmm.
And sure. Then also, like, looking for a savior, you know, it's like, it prompts you to look for a savior within the show immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's.
But you see, those are games.
Yeah.
And I think it's, they're you know, and I think the essential thing is to bear down on the maybe 5% or 6% of these young people who are going to really move the culture along. Not to bear down on the silliness purportedly, perhaps, of the curatorial mandate, but or the 85% of the stuff that's going to go, but to bear down on the thing.
Some of the things, like, it seems some of the way that the curators and the writers talk about certain artists as being like the ones who will move the culture forward, like, you know, the most important one of the show, for example, are the exact one that I feel is like they're not going anywhere.
Okay.
They're making this up about him, you know.
Okay.
They're finding things in him that it's not like real. It's not real.
Okay, so it's fantastic. I can't wait to go see this and have a discussion with you about what you think in your view, in your terms, is energy that is. Has got legs as opposed to fake energy.
Specifically, pay attention to Ryan Treehart, you know, his videos.
Elizabeth Bees having a show with his. Are you a fan of Treehart?
Not really.
Yeah, so why should I pay attention to what you don't care for?
Specifically, because he's. His success, first of all, happened so quickly.
So you're suspicious of this?
I'm not really suspicious of the success happening quickly. I'm more suspicious. I'm not really suspicious of anything, actually.
So
it's more like I know the success happened quickly because.
Right. He's done great work. Everybody was consensus. This guy's amazing. Doing amazing work. Everybody picks up on it. Okay. So immediate success.
But I don't see it as. I don't see it. I see it as more like. Conspiracy almost like a few people got behind him, you know, said the right things to the right people, gave him money, and kind of like convinced everyone else. You know?
Look at the art world, look at all the contrarians. Look at all the contrarians in the art world. Look at all the little fiefdoms in the art world, right? What could possibly make you believe that there's some magical, you know, consortium of energies that convinced everybody to fall in line. That's nuts. It never doesn't happen this way.
But
just doesn't happen. Nobody is like, you know, ramrodded into.
Well, it just seems like it just seems
system.
Like
it just doesn't happen.
It seems like an almost like, well, we can sell this kind of thing.
But that would be true of quality. Again, if we follow your logic. Would that not also be true of someone who's actually doing quality work?
Yeah, it would be.
So those are not the denominator. Those are not the, you know, your sieve of, what's it called, the filters that you're applying, you know, don't mean anything then. If the same filters that are used to denigrate something, the very same filters that could be used to elevate and confirm something.
Well, that's not true, because you could. I think that it could happen both ways.
No, it could happen both ways.
You know, there could be a good artist who gets fame quickly because he's making good work, and there could be a bad artist who gets fame quickly.
For doing bad work?
For doing work that is attributed to be good by certain people. That is sellable, that's like, that has so much, it seems loaded with so many, like I'll list them, things like he's gay, like he makes the work a little bit about him being gay, mm-hmm. It looks a little bit like the YouTube videos, lots of different references within his work. But the real, like, the meaning of the work, the cultural meaning of the work, is more important than the actual, like, the narrative of the work. And it seems like that's what's selling the work, and not the...
But you're making a very, very strong distinction.
That's what's selling the work, it seems. And to say the first person who found his work was a curator who found his work, like, on a Facebook website. And so after the... This is an important curator also. And so after she said, you know, she was like, look, you know, look at this. She sent it to all her friends. And it was sort of like... To me, curators usually look at work specifically for that art historical context. Sometimes.
I think good curators do what good curators do, just like good artists do good artists. And do things in the right way for the right reasons. So not necessarily. Again, I'm being very cautious here because, you know, I know his former work, but I haven't seen this new work, so maybe you're talking about something that's...
I know all the work. And I don't think he's like a... I don't really think he's a bad artist or like a bad person or anything. It just seems like it's happened.
You're raising such fascinating issues, which comes up over and over again, which is the work inherently good in and of itself, as if somehow it lives autonomously as a standalone object outside of any context, or is it good work because people are seeing stuff in it that seems to be relevant to our times? This is a false question.
Why is it a false question?
Because nothing exists autonomously. Nothing exists autonomously.
Well, I just think
there's
about...
There's no such thing as an autonomous art object. Everything is within a context. Everything is within a context of receptivity. If people read into things, cultural context, they're reading, that's the real. That's what art is supposed to be doing. Some people do it better. Some artworks do it better than others. And this guy, presumably, is doing it better than most, which is why it's getting a lot of attention. So that's why it has this aura, it's creating this energy. Right? So that's the reality of it. Not that there's a conspiracy theory that somehow people are tricked into thinking this is important when it really isn't.
But that's the reality of it, yeah.
But that's the reality of it. And you say, well, that's a shitty reality. It's like a perfect reality.
But it's true, yeah.
But it is real. And reality is real. It's not...
You're right.
And I'm very curious, too, because when you say, you know, you're inherently skeptical because of the quibbles. And I say, well, maybe. You're right. You know, sometimes that's... Maybe it can't be that fast. Or someone who's developing...
I'm not really skeptical of the quickness, because, you know, it happens to a lot of people. It happens fast. It's going to be happening faster and faster with internet and being able to see work.
That's right.
I'm not really skeptical of anything. I just really and turned down. Well, about this, I'm really just... I was turned down by the work because of the question that you said was irrelevant. The one about whether the work is good work because it actually... Like, the work is good, or that there are people who are attributing things to, like, the art historical things. And to me, that's like a question that is really comes up in that show, like, a lot. Because that's almost what it's about, the show.
But there you have it. That's, for me, without even having gone to the show, as I hear through hearsay, that's a mark of a good show. Meaning, because it's a show that's relevant. So the issues that are being raised right now about this dramatic, you know, question about what's the real here, you know, is brought up every time there's a paradigm shift.
I have an interesting story to share. Like, in comparison, here's like the best anecdote of the show. There's this artist, he's in the hallway. I'll give you his name. But he's an artist involved in the war in Lebanon. Like the violence in Lebanon, he follows like he's following a family. I'll get the name right now.
Yeah, I think it's.
Do you know the artist?
I think so. I think it's it's a woman who won the Hugo Boss prize. I believe. What's that about? You get the names of the artists.
should be Ziad Antar.
Okay, I don't know.
You don't know who that is?
No. Okay, born 78. Avec l'Université de Beyrouth, l'École supérieure des études cinématographiques. Celle de groupe de design de Taipei, White Box, no, White Space, Black Space. In Paris, Paris de Tokyo. Where is he, does he work? He works out of Lebanon and Paris, okay. American University, blah, blah, blah. Group shows, virtually nothing, right? But let's see which ones. Maybe a bit in Berlin, Kunsthal in Berlin, a little bit in Prague, Liverpool, Taipei Biennial, who curated that, I wonder. Memoir Vive, okay. I'm not familiar with that.
Well, he made
I am this, now, but I wasn't before.
He made like a cute little video in the stairwell, and it's of like some children starting to play with like an organ, mm-hmm. and they're sitting there, and you're not sure if it's just like a video of the children and if they're acting or not, and you know you're not really sure. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, it seems like a little fake, like they're acting, you know, like he's having them act, and I don't really like that because it seemed fake from the beginning. But then like the music starts going and they start singing, and you know it's like they're supposed to be singing a song to you, so they are acting. And the kids are like, you can see that they're acting but they're not acting at the same time doing the song. And comparison to all the other work in the show, it's like, you know, like the cutest, like most innocent, like attractive work, because in a way, instead of I believe what he was doing is it's a family from Lebanon, mm-hmm. and he's like following for a while, and that was a subject. I didn't read much into it that much, mm-hmm. but in a way, he's creating something that isn't necessarily his intention. Isn't really to make it about the time. It's more like he just wants to make something that's like more interesting to everyone, like to a general population.
In other words, it's not so much about the personal history of these children in relationship to their environment.
Well, to him, it's about that. I didn't read that much about him.
Right.
But in a way, he's making something like, for example, this video of the kids on the piano is much more. It's not about YouTube at all or the digital culture at all. In a way, it doesn't really like directly reference it. But also, it's exactly what you would watch on YouTube, you know, it's like exactly one of those videos, like a child in front of the piano,
okay,
in a way.
I hear you. But the context doesn't seem to be quite, it would be suitable for it, but its intentionality is not.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, he's making a video of these children, and he's not trying to do it of his time, but he's just, you know, doing it because it's what he feels will be like most emotional, get an emotional response to something he thinks is interesting.
Okay.
And that tends to be like the channel of RTV that I like the most.
Okay. So you felt this had the most...
And also...
So you felt that this impulse was among the impulses that had the most possibility for it in terms of the future?
Yes.
Okay,
yes. The future of like good art, I think.
I'm absolutely going to pick up on this and figure out what you're saying.
And in general, like when you look at, if I was watching that video on YouTube, like
the first context would be so different, so you wouldn't really.
Yeah, but it was just like coming across it as well, you know. But if I did see that on YouTube, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is cute, it's great, it's just like a little girl on YouTube singing a song to you.
Right.
You know. And
but now in the context of where he's from, knowing that he's from Lebanon, bearing down on the social, political, conflicting practices, that all of this to the context bears down on, right? It also all of a sudden brings into play all these, you know, all these other issues, right? About war, children at war, the risk, in a sense, right? In the relationship to an art.
But
piece.
He grabs you with that thing that's universal.
There's that universal thing that hooks us, right? Through the specificity of the children's scene.
And one thing, of course, I'm skeptical of is sort of like a question that would be passed off by most people in the art industry, is that like I know that that video on YouTube would have maybe like 100,000 views, whereas when you go to a Ryan Treecart video on YouTube, maybe like 5,000, like 10,000. It doesn't have the mass appeal.
Inherently.
Yeah, inherently.
Okay, so you're skeptical on what level? About what?
Yeah.
So what are you skeptical about, as you recall? 5,000 for tree car and 100,000 for Zia.
Well, I think just to me, great art is always something that could be understood like by everyone.
So the litmus,
children almost, like a child can watch it.
Okay. So the litmus test is, let's use YouTube as the birthplace for an examination of consensus, because it's neutral and anybody can do anything. It's an open source thing. So Tree Carton has five. I'm just trying to sort out what you're saying. So this man has 100,000. Is that a fact?
Oh, I mean, I'm not. I don't know.
But let's imagine it would be.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's just a discussion.
Sure, IB Area only has 16,000.
Who does?
IB Area. That's his first video.
Oh, okay. It has 16,000.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say Tree Carton had 5,000.
Well, this is Tree Carton.
Okay, so Tree Carton has 16,000. Mm-hmm. And this other man, let's imagine, has 100,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and you say, well, I'm sort of skeptical because, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Yeah. A lot of people are drawn to the Algerian guy. It means that his work is a touchstone for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
By definition, that's how art is supposed to work. Everybody can, even children, can get attached to it, right? And Tricon, by contrast, is not accessible.
But
just not that interesting.
Because he's alienating his audience in a way.
He doesn't,
it's hard to follow.
Because he's following another strategy.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more people than fewer people are turned off by the work.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like the people who are turned on are the people, like, you know, it's like the high culture thing.
Okay.
It's sort of, it's, in a way, it's like the high culture is removed culture also.
Okay. High culture.
Often.
Oh, I hear you on a certain level. You know, we're talking in parables a little bit because by the very nature of, you know, YouTube, which is supposed to be about, you know, high culture or low culture, but no culture, that is everything, right?
Well, most art videos, most high culture videos on YouTube, like a Bruce Nauman video or a video by artist, has very few views.
That's right.
Under 1,000.
Absolutely. So by definition, the art thing is not going to get, by definition, because of the nature of what we use and what its intentions are, art of most kinds is not going to be getting, right? Breast is not going to be getting, you know, 4 million hits, right? You know, but some starlet is going to get 4 million hits. Right? Just by the nature of what the engagement is about, right? The cultural, right?
And I think. I also want to, something I think is key is a race to get the biggest, like the highest number is just as bad as a race to get the lowest. Like, a race to high culture is just as bad as a race to low culture. Do you understand?
So he was on a break.
In other words, there's complicity. It's kind of like, in other words, there's complicity involved in however way you play the game. That seems to be what you're saying. You're complicit in some type of what? When you say the race, again, as a signifier for the race for eyeballs, the race for to persuade people, to move people, to persuade people, the race for sales, the race.
Yeah, but the future is saying don't enter the race, I think.
Well, that becomes a race in itself, right?
Yeah.
How many people can race away from the race, right?
Mm-hmm.
It becomes another form of a race, right?
Yeah.
Removal of the race is part of the race, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the question sort of, again, is asked again, what is the nature and character of RACE for you as someone who has to bear down on context, which has to do with the public reception, public receptivity, for good or for bad, adjudicated by a system. It's a curatorial thing, it's a gallery thing, and you've got to go through hoops, you've got to, you know, and how to take that, or how not to take it. You know, does one remove oneself, does one become cynical about it, does one say, you know, come what may, or whatever happens, Can I, you know, can I find a strategy that addresses the very symptoms that induces bad art as art? All these questions are for you to raise. I mean, I know you've got time.
Sure.
Right? But they're fascinating questions. You know, and you always make me ponder about the race for the high or the race for the low is an equally bad race. Well, I'm definitely going to see the show.
Yeah, you should see it. Then we can all talk about it.
When will you have your decision made about the top? Is it 11, 12, 13, 14? How many images?
What's the date? April 8th. I have to send them to the... They're going to be printed on the slides, so I'm sending them out on the 15th.
You should be pretty fast.
Yeah, I basically send them digitally and they mail them. So on the 15th, I figured that'll give me enough time to get them.
Okay.
So I'm planning on mailing them out the 15th or 16th. I signed up for you next week so that I can show you my final choices as well.
Okay. Do you know right now why the number? Why not two? Why not one?
No.
Or why repeated? 60 times?
Just
trying to challenge.
No, I don't. Yeah, of course. I'm just thinking like...
Do you think it might be just as effective if I have one?
Well...
Just presenting.
It's true.
One... That's it. You're all you know, it's like playing all the chips. I give you, here it is. I'm betting all my chips. This one image, you know, projected for an hour, for the 3 hours during the opening, or the one image that all my chips repeated 60 times on the carousel. That's my, you know, that's a power. That'd be a power.
Yeah, that's power.
You know, that you might want to see. That's another. But it's not my idea. It's your idea. I'm just moving it along so that you take the greatest amount of risk and that you create the most powerful, dramatic proposal, you know, so that you go to a place that you would never have gone before, ever. So people say, this guy is full of shit, or this guy's the most, what the fuck, right?
And I might be getting there, like, on some images, but really... this is sort of the beginning of a thing for me, so I'm kind of trying. I guess how I always work is I don't know, like, if I would honestly feel that one would be worthy of showing, like, over all the other ones. It would be a chance, yeah, it'd be fun.
But, it'd be fun, right? To challenge yourself. So, okay.
Yeah. I want to make this one the perfect one. Absolutely. The masterpiece.
Absolutely. This one has it all. This one has all the conditions of the thing that I'm trying to say. You know, in other words, it trumps all the others because it contains what all the others have in its own way, and it is the perfect, you know, storm. I mean, wouldn't that be terrific? I'm pushing you a little bit in order for you to challenge yourself to become extremely self-critical about yourself. To become much more self-critical about yourself. You're able to say, well, I know this is better. Because I've trained myself to know and to respond and to recognize this from this, the high, the good from the not so good. So that nothing, because it seems as if your struggle is the struggle to bear down on your over self-indulgence, very self-indulgent, you're very rigorous as well, you're overly self-indulgent, and you have to train yourself to become very rigorous in your self-criticality.
Yes.
You know, rather than saying, I'm the child, so everything I do is, you know, is mainly good rather than mainly bad. And that's just not good enough. It just doesn't cut any, it's just not good enough at this stage. Yeah, really?
Yeah, I'm watching a Dr. Seuss documentary right now, actually, and one of his things, and of course, one of his things he says is that the trick to me is I work more than anyone else. And, you know, I work more than anyone else, too. Like, you know, everyone does. You have to think about yourself in that way. But he, you know, one book a year was like the thing. You know, for Cat in the Hat, he wrote like 1,000 pages.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And
that's
for amazing, me, thinking about it, like...
Amazing character, this man. You write this man. It's amazing. His story, as you, I'm sure, knows, is absolutely right. I mean, not in a million years would a child ever realize this man, what this man has done, that led him to write these books, right? Mm-hmm. If you're so genuine, authentic, and So you too have to go through your own dogmas,
yep.
Right? And so I'm challenging you to say, okay, we're meant for some experience. Where you say, okay, I draw a line in the sand and I am rather, choose. In other words, I wanted to.
But the thing is, like with Dr. Seuss, he had a product in mind. He's like, okay, I'm making this one book, it takes a lot of work. For me, like right now, I'm thinking, okay, I want to make a slideshow, and I'm doing the work for the slideshow, so I'm going to eventually edit out to the best ones. Even if it's only 10, I'll probably just pick those 10. And then I think I do have in mind the idea that I want like the least, the less, the better. I really want to cut things.
Good. Very good.
But if it's a slideshow too, maybe I want to include more, and so it could be faster.
Okay.
Because my goal for this is really the slideshow. And today, after thinking about the Dr. Seuss thing, I'm like thinking, man, I could make, these are relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
And I could really perfect one of these
mm-hmm.
to myself
mm-hmm.
Within a couple weeks.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, if I wanted to do a big project like this, the film,
mm-hmm.
the animation,
mm-hmm.
or a thing that's I could print out as big as a wall,
mm-hmm.
A large, large digital print that I could work on, sections of,
mm-hmm.
for days and for a whole year,
okay.
maybe perfect it.
Right.
And that'd be great, yeah. I think that's definitely where I'm heading. Because before now, I've always done, the small,
right.
small things.
Right.
And now it's I've almost I've mastered, my techniques of, or, at least gotten to the point where I'm I know how to make an image now.
Right.
I can do some things. So let's try to, do something I've never done before, something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's
bigger meaning more complex
mm.
in terms of a challenge. What do you mean by bigger? I mean, apart from the scale, is that what it's about? Scale?
Not necessarily scale. More instead of creating towns now, I want to create countries. Instead of creating a house, I want to create a neighborhood. Yeah.
So nation building.
Yeah. Or instead of creating a country, I want to create the world now. I want to make worlds now. Not fantasy worlds, but I want to make my world now. I want a film to be a world, a planet, a sphere. And the drawing just doesn't do that. This just wouldn't do that. And the closest thing I've ever done to doing that is having a solo show, which is sort of my sphere, or the projector thing will be it's a little sphere.
Yeah.
And but it's time for me to make a big sphere.
I hear you.
I have 2 years left to college, so I'm working on something to a long, long term.
My support for you is that I concur in terms of your ambition. Maybe, and again, I'm just trying to push this, that means I want you to do it just to give some contour to what I already suggested, that maybe putting yourself in a corner and choosing. Again, I'm just using hyperbolic language, hyperbolic situation, in extremist situation, by choosing the one among the many, not the 5, not the 10, not the 15, among the 100, but the one, could be, you could use that decision experience as an analogy to creating the one world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's true.
That could be one.
And I'm thinking also, is the one world just everything I make,
mm-hmm.
the real life story,
mm-hmm.
or is the one world one work?
Sure. Sure.
Is my masterpiece, is my thing gonna be I always make stuff, so much stuff,
mm-hmm.
Picasso-esque way, made so many things,
right.
Or am I gonna be the guy who makes who's known for five pieces only?
Sure.
Almost like Albert Lamrisse did two films,
yeah.
The Red Balloon and the Pony film.
Sure. And he's done for all time.
Yeah, it's forever. He's got it. But he only made the one thing.
Totally.
And for me, I'll never stop doing these little things, probably.
Right.
But if I can do all these little things in attribution to
right.
the Red Balloon,
right.
Getting to the Red Balloon,
right.
then I'll have it. It'll all be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Someone can pop the DVD in and
right.
it's all there.
Right.
You don't have to go to a museum in Spain to see it. You don't have to go to a museum here to see it. You just have it in one thing, And it's not even it's taking pictures and it's in a book. That's it,
Right.
Everyone can see the exact work. It's not a reproduction.
Right,
so digital is really going to do that too, a movie or something, a film. Because when you're looking at film, you're always looking at the exact work, it's
yeah.
photography.
Totally. We're going to see where you go. It's going to be lots of fun.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't wait.
I can't wait. Okay. Yes, sir. Who's Cameron Lucido?
See the show this week?
Definitely. I guess I covered everyone except Sarah.
And write down the artist's name too. Ziad Antar. Because it's very difficult to find. It's in a stairway between like the third and fourth floor. That's, I think.
And again, this is a.
It's on a video screen.
And it's in the stairway?
I believe it's on the stairway between the third and fourth floor. Actually, I know it is. There's a side stairway near the regular stairway.
And it's on a loop? Clearly, it's on a loop.
Yeah,
right?
It's a video.
How long is it over?
Probably, I've only watched part of it. It's probably 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I think it's actually two videos, like two separate cuts. His videos are all like a one take video, and I think it goes through two different videos of pianos.
Okay, and were you taken enough by it to see it in its entirety? It did not draw you to, you know, just hang around and say, what is this man doing? I gotta see this from beginning to end.
Well, there were like 50 million people there. But in general, I was just like, I don't need to see this from the beginning.
Because
this is great. I'm like, this is awesome. I'm just going to walk away.
because you figured it out, right?
Yeah.
You said, this guy's on the... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.